Welcome to another Community Guide Spotlight. I'm John Anderton, and today we're talking to William Calvert, the Deputy Director for Population Health with the United States Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center. He is also a liaison representative to the Community Preventive Services Task Force. Bill, how long have you been a liaison representative to the task force?
I started in 1998, so it's been 19 years.
Tell us about your role with the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center and how your organization works with the Community Guide.
Navy Medicine alone has 63,000 staff. This includes of enlisted hospital corpsmen, active duty medical, nursing, and medical service corps, civilian, and contractors. One aspect of the military I like to point at is that we are communities. We consist of bases that have housing, restaurants, and movie theaters. These communities support the active duty population, their families, and retirees. And these communities are the workplaces and medical facilities, both within the U.S. and around the globe. We are also work sites, consisting of ships and brick-and-mortar facilities that, alongside of active duty members, employ civilians and contractors. We are medical facilities, providing health and health care to our active duty, their families, and retirees.
How does the Navy benefit from this partnership?
In our mission to help ensure workforce readiness in support of the National Military Strategy, the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center has applied task force recommendations to tobacco policies and staff health promotion programs. With limited prevention resources, it is important to the Navy to incorporate interventions proven to work. Our goal is to increase the quality and years of healthy life for our active duty beneficiary and civilian workforce, about 827,000 people worldwide. The Community Guide helps us do that.
How does the Community Guide affect the work that you do with the Navy?
The Community Guide has been used to drive and support policy changes, design our interventions, and benchmark and improve our interventions.
So how has the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center used task force findings?
Here's an example. In 2007, I chaired the Department of Navy's working group to draft and update its tobacco policy. I was a task force liaison at the time and made sure everyone at the table knew about the Community Guide and the recommendations related to tobacco use. Since then, we have applied different task force recommendations related to tobacco use. We included language that consolidated tobacco products, meaning smokeless tobacco was only permitted in designated tobacco use areas, not at the workplace desk or other workplace areas. We removed the requirement to provide shelter and designated spaces for tobacco users. We added language to note that people could only use tobacco during authorized break times available to all individuals. In other words, there was no longer such a thing as tobacco breaks. We set a tone that leaders create a command climate through their decision to be tobacco-free. The policy prohibited military and civilian staff members at initial entry and training programs from using tobacco when in the presence of students, recruits, officer candidates, and midshipmen. For Navy Medicine, the policy prohibited military personnel from using tobacco products while in the presence of patients or while in uniform when representing Navy Medicine. In 2010, the Navy banned smoking aboard submarines. Despite the atmospheric purification technology, there were unacceptable levels of secondhand smoke in submerged submarines. This was done primarily to protect non-smoking crew members from secondhand smoke, but of course benefited everyone. In 2016, we eliminated the discount of tobacco products in Navy and Marine Corps stores relative to prevailing community prices. We also improved the tobacco policy across the services and strengthened smoke-free policies to reduce exposure to smoke, reduce initiation, increase cessation, and decrease use among workers. Another example stems from an initiative to improve the Navy's culture of fitness. This term was coined around 2002 as part of a new sailor personal development program. Community Guide recommendations were used to design and implement various individually adopted behavior change programs and other worksite health programs, such as point of decision prompts. At the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center, we also implemented a health risk assessment program with feedback. Initially, it was just a health risk assessment that provided results. With the task force recommendation for health risk assessments with feedback, we updated our program to incorporate that component. Our program is anonymous because it doesn't collect identifying information. It is used at all command levels in the Navy. People complete their assessments before their annually required face-to-face interaction with a healthcare provider and bring printed results with them. This allows providers an opportunity to counsel patients and make referrals as needed.
What do you see as the value of evidence-based decision-making?
Decision makers at all levels of public health can use evidence-based decision making to improve the public's health by knowing what works. The Community Preventive Services Task Force has evidence-based recommendations that they compile into the community guide. These recommendations identify programs, services, and policies proven to be effective in a variety of real-world settings. By using evidence-based decision-making, we can create programs or tools that have been shown to improve health.
What are the real strengths and benefits of the Community Guide?
Evidence-based, independent task force gives us a credible resource to share with our health promotion and wellness officers. We share information about the Community Guide and task force recommendations with our personnel through a number of different channels. Our Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center Health Promotion and Wellness newsletter goes out to more than 4,500 people around the world. We share task force recommendations directly with program managers with responsibilities that are supported by specific recommendations. We also share with Navy personnel or workplace staff information about the 21st Century Sailor and Marine Initiative. This program covers readiness, safety, physical fitness, and inclusion aspects. Community Guide recommendations support many areas of 21st Century Sailor and Marine Initiative.
How does the Community Guide benefit your active duty, beneficiary, and civilian workforces?
In addition to the program and policies I've discussed, we also have the Medical Home Port Population Health Effort that used the task force recommendation to provide targeted health education interventions to individuals with diabetes, hypertension, obesity, or tobacco use.
Bill, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure being here.
For more information about the Community Guide or the Community Preventive Services Task Force, visit thecommunityguide.org. This is John Anderton, and you've been listening to a spotlight from the Community Guide.